Athena Taka was born in Greece and received an MA in sculpture from the Academy of Fine Arts in Athens. And that was followed by an MA in art history and a doctorate in aesthetics from the Sorbonne University in Paris. Since 2000, when she moved to DC, she's been affiliated with the University of Maryland at College Park. In 1989, she had a retrospective at the High Museum of Art in Atlanta, and more recently, solo shows in Washington at the Marsha Mateka Gallery and the American University Art Museum at the Katzen in 2006. Several books are published on her work, including Dancing in the Landscape, the sculpture of Athena Taka, that was published in 2000. And then over 35 of her public commissions have been executed throughout the U.S. And she presently has three large commissions in progress, one of which is in an entire plaza in the new Bloomingdale's at Friendship Heights in Bethesda. So that's very close by. I hope you all can see it. So that gives you kind of her background. She was from the works that were down here, she decided to pick this piece by Mana Hatoum. So I'd love to hear your take on it. Thank you very much for coming.
There are many beautiful works in this exhibition, actually. So I'll have to explain to you why I selected this one. Three reasons. One, I think Mana Hatoum is one of the most original and inventive and complex artists in the last two decades. And she works in many media, from sculpture to video to performance. Second reason is that the work is low-lying and humble, and I like humble works. If a woman's work, really. Women work horizontally, landscape often, and men rise up. The third reason is that I have a lot of common things with Mana Hatoum. Besides being both expatriate artists from Mediterranean cultures, we both are site-oriented sculptors and conceptually motivated, who work, however, a lot with the human body and its vulnerability. And also, I could list a lot more similarities, but I want to mention we use the same materials. And this work particularly attracted me because I have used myself silicone since 1969, which is 40 years ago almost. I am 16 years older than Mana Hatoum, so that explains it. I will explain, if you want, the technical, the making of this work later, but right now I want to just say a word about silicon. Silicon is one of the most common elements in the universe, and if you add an N to it, silicon, it means a very long polymer, a very tough polymer molecule, which is even more common. All sand is silicon, and on Earth, and glass, etc. But it also has a fluid form, a liquid form, like silicon rubber that she used here, and also it's even more liquid form is used for spaceship lubricant because it is extremely resistant to very high and very low temperature. So it's a very tough material. But while I'm talking about the content of the work, I would like you to look at the material itself and to see how beautifully it catches light. Just move around a little bit, and it has no lights inside. It reflects ambient light in a very beautiful way that makes it look moist, sensuous, and at the same time soft, which it is not. Altogether luscious material. I will start with explaining the meaning of the work from the title, because titles are extremely important for Mana Hatoum and do mean a lot. The title is Entrails Rug, two parts. Let's start with the second one. Rug implies, again, humbleness, horizontality, domesticity, women's labor, because women weave rugs usually. They are the people who weave the rugs and also the people who clean the rugs. So that's the meaning, the connotations of the second part of the title. The first part of the title entails intestines, conveys naturally the body's physicality, and even more than that, the body's interior. And it evokes possible pain even, because there used to be a torture called disembowelment or evisceration in many cultures, that were when they removed the intestines while the person was alive. So it has kind of, it suggests possibly disgusting or fearful things. But at the same time, this is the closed packed shapes of the curves evoke other parts of the body, such as the brain, and in fact, brain coral, other forms of nature. I can't resist passing around to you. This microphone is a bit of a nuisance, but these images of brain coral that my husband and I photographed in Roatan 2 weeks ago, because it is exactly the same image of the rug. The two parts of the title evoke the complexity of the work and the multi-level meaning of the work. But where did this work stem from, and what is its placement in Monahatum's oeuvre? It is from the mid-90s, when she was 43 years old and at the height of her maturity. And I think personally that it is bracketed by two videos that she made in 1994 and 1996. The videos are endoscopies that were taken of her own body. When she had a show at the Centre Pompidou in Paris, she finally convinced two doctors, or had the museum convince two doctors, to do an endoscopy and a colonoscopy of her, which for no clinical purpose, but for art, for her to show and see her interior landscapes. And those videos were shown. The one is called Foreign Body, foreign because the revelation was to her, it was a revelation of her own body, an aspect of her body she did not know, but also foreign because she is a foreigner, she feels a foreigner wherever she lives. And that's how she explains the title. And she exhibited it as a video in the floor inside a booth. So you would enter the booth and look into the cave of the intestines of her colon, accompanied by sounds of her heart and her body, her entrails. I should say that the body has actually six orifices, three up and three down, and she used only one up and one down, but in any case, that was pretty daring anyway. The second work she exhibited in Hamburg in 1996, and it's called Deep Throat, because indeed she looked, the endoscopy was all the way down to her esophagus, and she exhibited it as a video on the table inside in the middle of a plate, and with a setting on the table, so you would pick up the fork and look in the plate thinking it might be a fried egg, and there was the inside of her throat. And of course, Deep Throat may refer to the porno film that she always, as I said, her titles are very important, and she always implies a lot of meanings and levels with every work. At the same time, when I think that this was inspired by those two videos, but at the same time, it may have inspired or started a series in the mid-90s of rug sculptures. One of them was shown in the Istanbul Biennale in 1995, called Prayer Carpet, and it was made with thumb tags or carpet tags with the pins up, of course. And the other one is called a straight pin carpet made with long pins. So those two contain the dangerous aspect, the fearful aspect, and yet the beauty of the material. So I think this work, with its accompaniment of the other four works I mentioned, really frame the essence of Mona Hatoum's work, I mean, vision, artistic concept. But I would like you to turn around and look at the second work by Mona Hatoum that we have there, and you can go closer later on, maybe. Well, no, we want to stay here in case for the questions. That is called web bed. And again, it has a double meaning. Webbed, you can be webbed, because instead of a mattress or a spring, it has a spider web of wire, which again implies all kinds of further associations with entrapment, imprisonment, incarceration even. And the bed, of course, is a hospital bed, which may imply imprisonments in an asylum or being confined by illness. But generally, she makes, this is one of the sculptures that she makes with metal. She makes a lot of structures that imply imprisonment, such as cages and other beds and so on. But what is interesting about this one is that it has a spider web, because the spider is an image that she uses often in other works as well, partly because of the creepy nature of spider, the capturing of victims by the spider, but also, I think, because it goes back to weaving, and weaving is very important for her. She has done works with weaving her hair, a jewel made of her hair woven, or works with weaving wire. And it brings us back all the way around to the domestic and the humble aspect that I mentioned, starting to begin with this rug. So. Those are the basic things that I wanted to say about it, and now we can have time for questions, and if you want, I will explain also how technically this was made. We have not gotten the information from her, but she travels a lot, and I contacted a gallery only yesterday because I was away myself, but I think that I have a pretty clear idea of how it was made, if you want to know.
Can you explain that?
Yeah.
What? You also didn't say where she's from.
Oh, I thought that everybody knows. She's a Palestinian family that moved to Lebanon, to Beirut, because she persecution of the Palestinians, and she was born and grew up in Beirut, and then in 19 and actually she became a designer. Her background is very similar to mine. We're from small bourgeoisie family, middle class family. Her father worked for the British Embassy. She went to a French school, as I did in Greece, and so on and so on. But then she wanted to escape from her family. Her father wanted her to have a practical profession, like my father, and she became a designer, went to school, 2 years to a design school, and worked for an advertising office. And then she, in 1975, she went to London and got trapped there because the civil war broke in Lebanon. So she stayed in London and went to art schools in London, and that's where she became an artist in the mid-80s. 75 or 85? Did I say 75? Yeah, 75 she went to England, yeah. Is that enough? Okay, about making it, shall I? Well, the first question is how the form was made. And there are two possibilities, clay or a material, soft material that you model with your hands and shape into those forms. It could be clay or it could be plastiline. I think either could be, but I have more the impression of clay, plastiline here. And placing them, curving them and placing them on a flat ground. She actually made them into first into long kind of turds and then turned them around because you will see that they have creases at every turn. The other possibility that I thought of, and that's why I had to look closely, is that she used cow's intestines and stuffed into them, injected into them, something like a thickish stuff like the bowels have, and then cast them. But I don't think that's the case because I think it's too lumpy. So I think it was made with plastiline. And if you notice closely, this exists in an edition of three. It was cast in three copies. Therefore, it had to be reproducible. It may they may have kept the molds and they may make a bigger edition, but I read that there are three. So if you look closely, those interstices, which are between the loops, are filled with something so that they are not too deep, because in order to open the mold, you pour plaster, let's say, or another material. There are rubber molds. There are harder than plaster molds over the entire surface or in pieces. And it looked as if they filled in. She filled in all the deep interstices so that the mold does not catch under. In other words, the intestines are not fully rounded. And it looks as if, from looking from the side of the intestines, that there may be two pieces of mold, one lid, one the top, and one lower, because it looks as if they have there is a remnants of a seam along the edges, but that I can't be certain. I mean, the molds can be made in many different ways and in many different pieces, and then the liquid rubber was injected into the molds. And then it solidifies. There are different processes, volcanization and all kinds of processes. So does that explain sufficiently the making of it?
Are there any reactions or questions? We've spent some time looking at this. What are people thinking about, or what kind of questions might you have?
I'm impressed or kind of preoccupied with thinking about the, like, there's this tension between this kind of undulating,
thank you,
this tension between the undulating, persistent movement of the intestinal kind of imagery, and then how it's so bound by the rectangle. Mm-hmm. And it didn't maybe need to be, it could have had an irregular edge, but the binding of it is, I think, makes it more, you know, fills it with attention more.
That may be true, the tension, but I think it is the edge of the rug. I mean, she does call it rug, and she wants to maintain the integrity of the rug. And of course, it is thick because it has to sustain itself. It actually is flexible. But it is so tough that nothing would tear it. I mean, it's really a very tough material. I also wanted to say, and Leslie's comment reminded me, that the beauty of the material clashes with the disgustedness, let's say, of the subject, and that tension is always part of Hatoum's work.
I think when you talk about the beauty, it gets the light too, that the light actually makes it something that's not just entrails, but it's also reflecting other things that we might...
Purity.
Other people.
But you know, the entrails are white when you wash... I've washed a lot of entrails in Greece, lamb in entrails to make kokoretsi that we make in she too probably because it's comparable cultures. They make lamb intestines on the spit, and you have to wash totally the intestines in the faucet, and they are pure white like this.
Oh, really? Okay. So I think what we're going to do is the official talk is over, but I think the informal talk will continue over to the next piece. So thank you all for coming. Thank you very much for speaking to us.